Welcome to the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. We're traveling through the Bible with a new lesson each weekday. Today we come to episode 32 called Together at Last. In this section of Scripture, Joseph enjoys a joyful reunion with both his brothers and his father. As we look at this account today, it reminds us of the power of confession and forgiveness. Now, here's Stephen.
I remember reading the account of a soldier who'd been a prisoner of war for 7 years, and when the war finally ended, he returned home. He'd become a Christian during his captivity and would later write how the Lord enabled him to handle those years of suffering and isolation and separation from his wife and children. Thousands of people gathered at the airport to witness this wonderful family reunion. He didn't know it, but one of his daughters was now married, and he was a grandfather. He also didn't know that his son had been in an accident and was there to greet him from his wheelchair. It was a very tender moment when this father knelt beside his son's wheelchair and embraced him, and they wept together. You know, there's something very moving and touching about a family reunion. In fact, there's something in our hearts that yearns to go home. Years ago, when I was preaching at a missionary conference near my hometown, I decided to travel over to my childhood home where I, along with my three brothers, had been raised by our missionary parents. So I drove over to Red Brook Road in Norfolk, Virginia. Everything looked so different, of course. The tree I used to climb was gone. The front yard had green grass, something we'd never seen before because we constantly wore it out playing football. Well, I went up and knocked on the door, and a young mother answered, and she invited me in so that I could walk through that little house. And each room brought back such special memories. Eventually, I made my way to that little bedroom upstairs where I knelt as a teenager, giving my sin and my heart, my life, to Jesus Christ. It was so good to be reminded of the grace of God. Well, for more than 20 years, Joseph has been away from home. It wasn't his choice. He'd been sold into slavery by his brothers. He'd been robbed of his youth, and his heart longed to go home. He wanted to see his father Jacob again. He wanted to reunite with his entire family. Now, we're in Genesis chapter 45 today, where Joseph finally reveals to his 11 brothers who he really is. And he announces to them here in verse 4, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt." Wow, let me tell you, nobody would blame Joseph if his very next words were, "And you are going to pay dearly for what you did to me." Revenge is the response of the flesh, though, not the spirit. So his next words to them here in verse 5 are wonderful. He says, "Do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." Now in verse 7, "God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth. It was not you who sent me here," he says in verse 8, "but God." This was God's plan all along. And in a very tender moment, in fact, one of the most miraculous moments in this 20-year drama, verse 15 here says, "And Joseph kissed all his brothers," get that, "all his brothers, and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him." I can't imagine all the apologies and the tears and the forgiveness and the family updates and the memories that they then began to share together. Now, Joseph tells his brothers to go home immediately and inform Daddy Jacob of all that's happened and tell him to come to Egypt for a reunion. And they do just that. Imagine the volume here in verse 26. And they told Jacob, Joseph is still alive, and he is ruler over all the land of Egypt. Jacob responds exactly as you and I would have responded. It says here, his heart became numb, for he did not believe them. I mean, this is too good to be true. Joseph's alive. He wasn't killed by a wild animal all those decades earlier. And he's the ruler of where? The land of Egypt. Well, now at this point, these brothers are going to need to confess to their father the great sin they'd committed and the worst secret they'd ever kept. Verse 27 tells us that they told Jacob everything Joseph had said to them, which would have included Joseph's perspective, that although his brothers had sold him into slavery, God had sent him there. God had used their sin ultimately to provide for his chosen nation. So here in verse 27 we read, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. In other words, Jacob was filled with hope once again. Verse 28 says, and Israel said, oh, by the way, I love that. Israel said, this is Jacob's covenant name, which implies his confidence in God's covenant promises are now restored. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. Now, in chapter 46, we're told that Jacob travels all the way to Beersheba. That's the southernmost tip of the promised land. And Jacob stops there and offers sacrifices. He declares his allegiance to God. God comes to Jacob here in a night vision. And he says down in verse 3, do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation. I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you up again. Now, when Jacob and his family arrive, verse 29 says, then Joseph prepared his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, in Goshen. He presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Wow, what a moment. What a family reunion. After all these years, this family is finally together again. Jacob says down here in verse 30, now let me die, since I've seen your face. Well, in other words, I can now die in peace. I now know the answer to the questions I asked God 1,000 times. What happened to Joseph? Why, God, did you allow him to die? Now he knows. Beloved, many of you are probably waiting for answers to questions like these. Well, in time, the Lord may give you answers in this life, but you may not be given answers until eternal life, that is, heaven, when you see the Lord face to face. Frankly, He will be answer enough. Now, in the next chapter, Genesis chapter 47, we're told here that Pharaoh responds to all of this by inviting them not only to live in the region of Goshen and tend their flocks and herds, but also to watch over his livestock as well. Now, Egyptians didn't like shepherds. That was an occupation for the poorest of the poor. So the land of Goshen will provide not only rich pasture land and security, but also a measure of protection from the idolatry of Egypt, as this family of 70 is going to grow into a nation of several million people. By the way, Joseph becomes a wonderful illustration of Jesus Christ. You know, back over in chapter 45, when Joseph sent his brothers back home to Jacob, you remember, and the rest of the family, and he essentially sent them with a threefold message. First, tell them that I'm not dead, I'm alive. Secondly, tell them that I am now exalted as Lord over all of Egypt. And thirdly, invite them all to come and live with me. Do you see it? Do you see it? This is the gospel. We're telling our world that Jesus Christ isn't dead. He's alive. We're telling our world that Jesus is exalted in glorious splendor as the Lord of Lords. And we're giving the world his personal invitation to come and live with him forever in heaven. By the way, I need to ask you, have you accepted that invitation from the Lord? You know, you can right now, wherever you are. You can simply pray something like, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for sinners like me. I accept your invitation to trust you alone for my salvation. I ask that you forgive my sin. Accept me into your family. I want you to become my Lord of Lords and King of Kings. If we can help you with that invitation, make sure you contact us right away. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Wisdom Journey. Stephen Davey will continue teaching through the Bible next time. To learn more about our ministry or support us with a donation, visit wisdomonline.org. And while you're there, learn more about joining the crew. Members of the crew have access to the manuscript and study guide for each lesson. You also have the blessing of knowing that you're helping make the wisdom journey possible. Learn more at our website, then join us next time on the Wisdom Journey.